Well, tell you, it feels like what's happening in Iran has reached a fever pitch. There is certainly an inflection point happening there, and pushing back against a regime. I mean, you're talking about a public hanging of one of the protesters carried out by the regime, and it's unfathomable, considering where the United States' relationship with Iran historically has been, going all the way back to when they took the hostages in what, 79? So the history is long, and it feels like there's an inflection point. Donald Trump has said that help is on the way. He's told those protesters there. There was reports today that there was some movement amongst military members in the region moving around to different bases. So it feels like something is coming, but the question is what? What exactly is on the table here for Donald Trump? We bring in Rocky Richkovsky, the retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, to talk about it all. Rock, good to have you, my friend.
Hey, Chris, great to be on with you in Focus.
All right, so let's break this down. It seemed like over the last couple of days, the reports kind of leaned toward the fact that Donald Trump had been briefed on options, on what to do. And, you know, you go back to Operation Midnight Hammer when he had these stealth bombers flying from the middle of the United States all the way over to Iran to carry out these attacks on the nuclear facilities. An unbelievable feat of the U.S. military's might. But at the same time, the increase in hostilities in Iran is changing things a little bit. So of the options here for the United States, what do you think Donald Trump is leaning towards?
Well, first off, Chris, let me just share with you that I truly believe that we're within 24 to 48 hours of playing some type of role in assisting the Iranian protesters against this current regime. I really believe that all the tea leaves are out there. Now, the president can pick from kinetic, which would be military options without putting boots on the ground, all the way to non-kinetic strategic options, which would include economic and financial warfare. So when you look at the kinetic options, we're talking about precision airstrikes, missile strikes against their military facilities, against any other leftover nuclear facilities, ballistic missile infrastructure facilities, as well as the IRGC, which is the Iranian Republican Guard, their real secret police and their military operations units, their special operations units. We would potentially help the protesters by taking out their command and control nodes and any of their air defense systems, as well as any drone capability that they have, drone operations, and their missile production sites. Now, when you talk about non-kinetic, you're talking about covert and intelligence-based operations, which are actually covered under Title 50 of the U.S. Code, and these are the black ops operations. These are the cyber operations. These are employing Elon Musk and U.S. assets, military assets, to allow for people to have internet operations. Also, kind of like the Voice of America. Remember the old Cold War Voice of America? Mm-hmm. This would also include psychological operations, broadcasting and social media campaigns, exposing the regime's corruption to the world, and most importantly, cutting off their financial operations so that they can't fund their military, they can't fund any type of other operations, and you cut off their illicit crypto and shadow banking operations. And we have that power.
Okay, so if we're in a two-day window in your mind, what does that mean for our assets in the region? What does it mean for our men and women who are stationed there?
Well, you would obviously pull back and harden your bases that we have. We have quite a few bases in Iraq as well as operational in Syria. So you would harden those bases. And any of our naval facilities, naval operations would be hardened, which means that they would be on alert and obviously in a offensive as well as defensive posture. And then on top of that, we would basically launch, and this isn't anything classified, but we would launch satellites and other technical operations that we have in the air as well as in space to jam Iranian capabilities and communications, as well as to put out more of our communications on the ground. And that would really, really create a bad day for the regime, because they would not be able to communicate with the ground, and they would be hearing opposition communications. And that's what our forces are preparing to do with either drones or with cyber and satellite operations.
Does Israel have a role here? There were reports that Marco Rubio was talking to Benjamin Netanyahu a couple of days ago. So it seems like, as you mentioned, the wheels are in motion, could be a couple of days away from some sort of intervention. What type of role would Israel play? Because there's been a lot done to try to bring some sort of stability to the region, right? Obviously, we've seen that with Israel and Gaza.
Yeah.
But what does this change if the United States were to take some action?
Yeah, that's probably one of the best questions that I've heard right now. And so that people understand, Israel actually has more assets on the ground in Iran. And the Iranian people, if you were talking about pre-79 revolution, the Iranian people always had a great relationship, believe it or not, with Israel. There are even Iranian Jewish groups. So it's very interesting. But Israel has assets on the ground. And I'm sure that Shin Bet or the Mossad have assets on the ground that are providing intelligence, and that's what we're talking about. But as far as Israel being covertly or overtly involved, I think that they would probably have a seat on the sidelines and allow the U.S. to lead this. And quite frankly, when you're thinking about what's happening, and you're absolutely correct that there are now we've seen the pictures that have been smuggled out of the body bags on the ground. But now they're talking over 2,500 people have been killed, and you're hearing chants instead of death to the USA. Now you're hearing long live the USA and death to the Ayatollah as he's imposing capital punishment now and executions.
Yeah, and then there's been this reaction from those on the inside, whether that's been protesters here in the United States, that feel like the people on the left that have been protesting, whether it was happening in Gaza or other, you know, liberal issues, that they've been relatively silent on this. Is that an indictment, do you think?
I wish I knew the real answer there. I think that it's who is funding the protests in the United States, not so much an indictment, but more of we really need to get the mud out of our eyes and look, or the sand out of our eyes, and look at who is funding these protests and really get down to that. Because you're right, there were groups that were protesting Gaza, protesting Venezuelan activity, but yet they're not protesting what's happening in Iran right now. And the bottom line is a strategic reality check for this president. And seriously, could damage Iranian capabilities without putting boots on the ground, as well as create a better relationship with the United States and Iran moving forward.
Interesting stuff. Great analysis. Rocky Richkovsky, I always appreciate the time, my friend. Thanks so much.
God bless you, and I'll see you on Friday night, my friend. Take care.
See you on Friday night. Meanwhile, we're going to take a break. Coming up on the other side, we're going to talk to the president of Michigan State University. We just saw Kevin Guskowitz roll by.
If we could get him off the Broncos,
if we can get him off the attractions here, we'll talk to him. He had a conversation, a little fireside chat with former Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, so hopefully we'll be able to catch up with him. Ryan Armani in the house. We'll get ready to hand the ball off to him as well. All that and more coming up here on Focus with Paul W. Smith. Chris Renwick in here at the Detroit Auto Show.